One of the first things a recent and not so recent Ola will often tell you is how happy and excited they are to have finally gotten rid of that second day of Yom Tov thing, and how happy they are to be finally doing it the real way. And this attitude has bothered me for a long time, and I think that there are a number of people in Chutz La'aretz that have this attitude as well. And personally, I very much enjoy the second day of Yom Tov, especially on Pesach, when we have a second Seder. I find the second Seder is always more relaxed, and I always enjoy it more. And further, we have the opportunity to perform so many mitzvos two times. And in essence, according to one way of examining the ideas of Yom Tov Sheni, we have double the Kedusha since we have double the mitzvos. Now, it's certainly true that the quote-unquote real way is to have Yom Tov for only one day, as that's the way the Torah set it up. However, being that all of Klal Yisrael has been keeping 2 days of Yom Tov for thousands of years, it's a shame to have such a negative attitude towards the second day of Yom Tov, since after all, we hopefully look forward to Yom Tov. And I'd like to examine an approach, this is Rav Hirsch's approach, as to why we have 2 days of Yom Tov, then to discuss practically a reason that people may have difficulty with the second day. Possibly for some people, yes, possibly no, but I think this might be one of the reasons why people have difficulty with a second day of Yom Tov. In Shemos Yud Beis, which has all the halachas of Karban Pesach, the Torah begins by saying, you can see this in source number 1, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei HaShana, that this month will be the beginning of months to you, and it will be the first month of the year for you. And we learn from this introduction to the Karban Pesach two mitzvos. One is Kiddush HaChodesh has to be done through Eidim, by witnesses, and two, that we should order our months from the month of Nisan. Rav Hirsch writes that based on this mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh al pi Re'iya, there are those who have disparaged us by claiming that the Jews lacked astronomical knowledge of the lunar cycle, and therefore perforce we needed to have witnesses. And later on, when the Greeks came along, we were finally able to learn from them how to properly compute the lunar cycle, and therefore we could back away from having Eidim. And Rav Hirsch says that this is absurd, because sometimes it could be cloudy for weeks on end, and no calendrical system could be based solely on the moon. And he writes, furthermore, Chazal knew exactly when to expect the new moon each month, and they would use this calculation as a check against the witnesses. And if no witnesses would come, then day 31 would automatically become day 1 of the next month. Just as an example, we find that David said to Yonasan in the beginning of, or in the middle of Shmuel Chaf, it says, Vayhi mimacharas hachodesh hasheni, and it was on the next day of the new moon. So we see from here that in the times of Shaul, they were keeping 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, and this is thousands and thousands of years ago. And this has to do with the calculation of the lunar cycle, such as when the molad falls out, and if the month is malei or chaser. Rav Hirsch says that Kiddush HaChodesh is much more than just a precise astronomical calculation, even though this calculation is the basis for Kiddush HaChodesh. He writes that the heavenly bodies don't declare our months. It's not in honor of the cycle of the moon that we celebrate Rosh Chodesh. Rather, it's the basis for Kiddush HaChodesh, but he says it's really much more than that. He says if we examine the ideas and the halachos of Kiddush HaChodesh, we'll see that it's meant to impress upon us the stamp of human social relations, not the natural phenomena of the moon. So again, everything we're going to quote now from all the halachos we're going to see is going to show that we're stepping into the realm of human social relations. So first halacha. Kiddush HaChodesh has to be done during the day, even the conclusion of Kiddush HaChodesh, which is unlike civil proceedings that may be concluded at night. So let's see source number 2. This quotes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Chaf Hei Amud Beis. We're going to start with the Mishnah, and the truth is we're going to get back to this Mishnah in a moment, but our main point here is the Gemara. It says, Ra'uhu Beisin V'chol Yisrael, if Beisin and most of Yisrael saw the new moon, Nech hiru ha'edim, or if the edim were being questioned, v'lo hispik lomar mekodosh ad shechashecha harei zeh me'ober. So we would have an extra day, and we would disregard the edim, even though they are correct in their edus. We would disregard it. So the Gemara says, Sakadai da'amina te have chakiras edim kitchilas din. I would have thought that the questioning of the edim would be the beginning of the din, of the proceedings. Umekudush mekudush kegemar din. And the declaration of basin of mekudush for the chodesh would be like the conclusion of the din. Ulekadshe belelia. And I would think that basin would have the right to proclaim the new chodesh at night. Mididahava dine mominus, just like we could do by mominus. Ditnan, as we have the following Mishnah, Dine mominis, dunin bayom, vigomrin balayla. We begin judging during the day and we can conclude at night. Hachanami mikachin belelia. So too, we would think here to say the same thing. Once we began the din during the day, we concluded at night. Kamash Malan, don't say such a thing, and you are not allowed to do that. As the Mishnah said, once it's nighttime, if Mekudesh was not proclaimed, it makes no difference anymore, and the month will be Ma'ober. And the Gemara goes on and questions this, but comes out the same way, so we don't have to do the rest of the Gemara right now. Another halacha, Kiddush HaChodesh must have three dayanim, and there are no exceptions, unlike some monetary cases that only have one dayan. So let's see source number three. It says, Ra'uhu Shlosha V'hein Beistin. If three dayanim that are part of the Beistin Gadol see the new moon, Yamdu Shnayim, so two of the judges will stand up and they will become the Edim, V'yoshivu Mechavrehem Eitzel Hayachid, and they'll have two other people sit next to the third dayan, and they'll have a Beistin now, so they'll have two Edim and three dayanim. Skip down two lines. The Gemara says, Seifa Etzdrichalei. De'ein hayachid ne'mon al yidei atzmo. A yachid, an individual judge, even one on the Sanhedrin, may not proclaim Mekudosh. De'salkadaita chamina ho'il v'tanya dini mominis b'shlosha. We would have thought to say that since dini mominis could be judged by three dayanim, v'im hayo mumche l'rabim dan afilu b'yachid, and if there would be an expert on this court, then he could judge this case on his own. And by Dine Mominis, that's what's done. So, Hachanami, Nikadshe B'Yechidi. We would have thought that Kiddush HaChodesh could also be done by a Yachid. Kamash Malan, don't say such a thing. Meaning that Kiddush HaChodesh must have three Dayanim. So the Gemara says, Ve'ema Hachanami, maybe you can just have one judge. So the Gemara says, Ein lecha mumche l'rabin b'Yisrael Yosef Moshe Rabbeinu. There was no greater dayan ever than Moshe Rabbeinu. U'ka'amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu adi'ika Aharon b'hadach. That he was not able to proclaim a Kodesh until Aharon was with him. D'chziv, v'yomar Hashem Moshe v'yal Aharon b'eretz Mitzrayim le'mor HaKodesh hazel lochem. And so now we see two. How do we know three? Because you can never have a basin made up of an even number. Must be the Torah is referring not just to Moshe and Aaron, but even to a third person as well. Another halacha, usually to establish anything as a fact, only one witness is needed, and this is called Eid Echad Ne'eman B'Isurim. By Kiddush HaChodesh, as in all cases of in the Torah of personal relationships, there must be two witnesses, not just one witness. So if you look in the Hirsch Chumash, this is quoted as being on Rosh Hashanah, Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. I looked, I couldn't find it. Okay, another halacha. If Basin does not have a chance to proclaim Mekudosh before nightfall, the entire testimony doesn't count and Rosh Chodesh will be pushed off. So we saw this already. This was the Mishnah that we quoted earlier of Re'uv Basin. We said that it becomes Me'ubar if they did not have a chance to proclaim before nightfall. So we see clearly that it's the communal pronouncement of Mekudosh that creates Rosh Chodesh. It's not the moon alone. And this is what the Torah says in Vayikra, Asher tikru'u osam b'mo adam, that you declare when these Yamim Tovim fall out. And Rosh Chodesh itself is considered a moed, but it's not based on a historical or a seasonal event, but rather it's based on the light of the new moon. So if we look in source number 4, just to see, Tosfos says this, that Rosh Chodesh is called a moed. Tosfos says, Minayin Shemachal in Es HaShabbos, how do you know to bring an Eidos about the moon? You could b'mechal Shabbos, Talmud Lomar, Ilam Moadei Hashem. So Tosos quotes this pasuk that's called a moed. V'hai kra b'nisan v'tishrei k'siv. How do you know that you could be mechal Shabbos for any of the other months? Maybe it only talks about the month which Ilam Moadei Hashem refers to, which is Nisan and Tishrei. So Tosos says v'yesh lomar kol rosh chodesh is rabbi mide ikrei moed. Okay, and if we just skip to the very end of Tosos, Kamash Malan, Rosh Chodesh Nami Moed Ikre. So we see clearly from here that Tosos holds that Rosh Chodesh is called a Moed. Now, Moedim are times for us to meet with Hashem. So let's see Rav Hirsch inside where he discusses this. We can see this in source number 5, which is on the back of the page. It says like this. It says, if we may speak in human terms, this meeting should be voluntary from both sides. It should not be like a master summoning his servants into his presence. It is God who wishes that his people should come to him. That is why he specifies only in general terms the time of their coming to him. He allows them a certain latitude within which they themselves may set the exact date for the meeting, so that the time of the meeting will be by mutual choice. Note this well, it will be by mutual choice. If the beginnings of our months and consequently the dates of the festivals were to be tied exactly to planetary astronomical phases, so that the lunar cycle would be automatically determine the Moed and the Moadim, then we and our God, as it were, would be bound by the blind, unchanging cycle of nature. In that case, our Moed of the new moon would lend serious support to the idolatry of a cult of nature worship. But this shall not be. Indeed, this dangerous illusion that so readily suggests itself must be countered with all deliberate firmness. It is not the meeting of heavenly bodies, the renewed illumination of the moon by the sun, that produces the beginning of the month. It is not this natural phenomenon that the new moon celebrates. Rather, each time the moon reunites with the sun and receives from it new light, God wants his people to find their way back to him, so that his light may again shine forth on them, no matter where they may be, or through what periods of darkness they may have to pass in their path through history. The encounter between the moon and the sun is only a symbol and occasion for our reunion with God. The renewal of the moon is a symbol and an occasion for our own renewal. Moed literally means meeting. Thus, it is neither the astronomical phenomenon nor astronomical calculations, but we ourselves, through the representatives of our community that create our Chodesh and set the date for our Moed, our meeting with God. Hence the halacha, mitzvah l'kadesh al hari'iyah. Objective astronomical certainty is not sufficient. Subjective perception, too, is required. And this is why we only declare Mekudesh when the moon is seen in its proper time, because this guards us from any type of nature worship. However, if the Chodesh is Me'ober, then this isn't necessary, and Basin does not go in and declare Mekudesh. Furthermore, Basin can actually change the day of Rosh Chodesh for communal interests, such as if Yom Kippur and Shabbos fall out consecutively, Beis Din can add a day to the month, even though the new moon was seen earlier. And one final halacha, we could see this is Rosh Hashanah Chaf Hey Amud Aleph, as we've been quoting. Even if Rosh Chodesh was declared an error, it stays. Hashem says, Ein li moados ela elu. I only recognize what the communal representatives declare. So let's see source number 6. So just as a background to this Gemara, Rabban Gamliel forced Rabbi Yoshua to walk to him on the day that Rabbi Yoshua understood to be Yom Kippur based on his calculations. Rabban Gamliel was the Nasi, and he ruled one way. Rabbi Yoshua, who was not, ruled a different way. And Rabban Gamliel forced Rabbi Yoshua to come to him on Yom Kippur, on his Yom Kippur. So it says, Halach umtso Rabbi Akiva Meitzar. This is a curious change. He went, and he found Rabbi Akiva distraught. So the Gemara says, Ibayaluhu, mi meitzar. Who was it that was distraught? Rabbi Akiva meitzar or Rabbi Yeshua meitzar? So the Gemara says, Tashema detanya halach Rabbi Akiva umtso le Rabbi Yeshua kishahu meitzar. Rabbi Akiva found Rabbi Yeshua, who was distraught. Amar lo. So Rabbi Akiva said, Rabbi, ibnei ma'ata meitzar. Why are you, Rabbi Yeshua, bothered? Amar lo, Akiva, Roi lo sheyipol lemita yud beis chodesh. It's better that I should become bedridden for an entire year, for 12 months. Val yigzar alo gzerozo, rather than I should have to follow this decree of Rabbi Gamliel that I'd have to walk on Yom Kippur and go to meet him. So Amar lo Rebbe, tarsheni lomar lefanacha davar echad shelimadetani. Permit me to say something in front of you that you taught me. So Amar lo emor, he said, go up to speak. Amar lo. Harehu Omer, the Torah says, Atem, 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 Gimel Pa'amim. The Torah says, Atem, three different times. Atem Afilu Shogigim. Even if you declare the date an error, it stays. Atem Afilu Mezidim. Even if you declare the wrong day of Rosh Chodesh on purpose, Atem Afilu Mutam. Even if you were misled by false Eidos, nevertheless, once it's declared to be Rosh Chodesh, it stays. Bilshon Hazel Amar Lo, so Rabbi Yeshua replied to Rabbi Akiva in the following language, Akiva, nichamti, nichamti, you have comforted me with your words. So now, we can come to an understanding of why we have Yom Tov Sheni. Today, we have no communal representatives, we have no smicha, and Hillel gave us Bikiyus Bikviya Diyarcha, a set calendar. We therefore, we have no doubts as to when a month begins. However, Hillel's system was only meant to be temporary. Today, all of our Yom Tovim are fixed. We therefore, we are in danger of losing this free determination between Hashem and us, which could lead to a cult of nature worship. Yom Tov Sheni, however, removes this danger. And Rav Hirsch writes, let's see the number 7. This is on the front of the page. He writes, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios keeps alive the memory of the original Kiddush Al Pi Ra'iyah and the free determination of our community. These second days originated in those better times when our community still had a national center and national representatives for whose decision regarding the fixing of the Moadim all outlying communities had to wait. This very waiting enabled them to regard themselves as part of a larger national body and to regard their festivals as freely determined times in which God and His people were to be. Communities that could not be reached in time by the messengers who were sent out from the national center to celebrate 2 days because of their doubt at... I think I totally said that wrong. Those communities that could not be reached in time by the messengers who were sent out from the national center celebrated 2 days because of their doubt as to the exact date. The members of our last representative assembly indeed knew well what they were doing when on the one hand they fixed the calendar for the duration of the Golus as a temporary remedy, while on the other hand, Shalchu Mitam, they sent from Eretz Yisrael, they sent a message to the Gola, which celebrates 2 days, saying, Hizaharu b'minhag avosechem b'yadeichem, keep this custom well of celebrating 2 days, which has been handed down to you by your fathers, Zimnin, deGazru haMalchus Gzera veAsila alkol kule. Due to the pressures of the times, knowledge of the Torah, and of the way we have fixed the calendar may come to be forgotten. You would then determine your new moons and festivals in accordance with your own calculation or sighting, not knowing that it is not the astronomical calculation nor the actual sighting, but rather the sanctifying determination by the representatives of the entire Jewish community that transform new moons and festivals into Jewish Moadim. It is therefore an absolute truth that for Yisrael in the diaspora, only the second day of the holiday ensures the sacred Jewish character of the first day. And Rav Hirsch concludes with a discussion of how Rosh Chodesh is supposed to inspire us to renew ourselves each month. And now that we have an understanding and an approach as to why we keep a second day of Yom Tov, so I'd like to briefly, and by that I mean very briefly, examine one of the reasons I feel people have a difficult time with keeping 2 days of Yom Tov, and that is bathing. And this is not meant to be lemaisa, this is just meant to be food for thought. And the halacha is that a person could heat hot water on Yom Tov for food preparation, by extension. Ochel Nefesh also permits washing with hot water for a physical necessity, and washing is considered a physical necessity. However, how much washing, or in what matter, is questionable. This is because we're only permitted to do things on Yom Tov that are considered shaveh l'chol nefesh, and the poskim have determined that washing one's entire body is not shaveh l'chol nefesh. So let's see source number 8. This is sideways on the first page. The Rebbe Chaber says, Mutter lehachim biyom tov mayim lirchutz yadav. It is permissible to warm water on Yom Tov to wash your hands, and hands always means yadav, pano viraglav, your hands, your face, and your feet. Aval lo kol gufo. You cannot wash your entire body. Va'afilu enu rochatzos bevas echos. Even if you're only doing it limb by limb, according to the Shulchan Aruch, this is aser. So if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, bottom of the page, source 9, he says, Perosh lahachi mayim kedei rechitzas kol gufo. In order to warm water, to wash your whole body, that's aser. Derechitzas kol gufo hu davar she'en shava l'chol nefesh. Washing your entire body is not a need, which is equal for everyone. Rak limu'unagin harigilim bazeh. This is only for particularly fastidious people. However, Rav Neuwirth in Shmir Shavas Kehil Chasa, see questions, is it true today that washing is not shavah l'chol nefesh? So let's see source number 10. This is sideways. It says, V'hatam da'asrin al-lirchutz kol ha'guf. Why can't you wash your whole body? Shema yavah l'hachim mayim l'tzorech zeb. Because you might come to warm water. V'hari yachitzas kol ha'guf. Hi davar she'eno shavah l'chol nefesh. Ela rak l'mu'unagin harigilu mekach. This is only for fastidious people. So he says, V'yish la'ayin ki hayom. Shirov b'nei adam yish lahem cheder ambati b'beisam. Most people today have a bath in their homes. O l'pachus miklachas. Or at the very least they have a shower. L'ma nezor yachitzas kol ha'guf. Mishum she'eno shavah l'chol nefesh. Why should it be not called shavah l'chol nefesh today? Umashe kasov mezia bizman ha'gemara dimi ikar adin sharita mishum dehavet shavah l'chol nefesh. So we know that the Gemara says, and we pask in this way, that technically a person could jump into cold water on Yom Tov. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're sweating, that's called shavah l'chol nefesh to go into cold water. Skip down a little bit, two lines. Va'afilu eile she'ein lahem makum l'hisrachis bebesam. Even people that don't have a place in their homes to wash, which today would be very rare. Halo ha'gemara k'suvos omeres. Tzvi tzorech l'chol nefeshu. So the Gemara here is referring to question of if a particularly fancy type of meat is called shavah l'chol nefesh. And the Gemara concludes that yes, it is, because it's not the fanciness of the meat that we look at, but rather it's the fact that it's edible, and eating is something which is shavah l'chol nefesh. V'od, halo b'derech klal motzi adam es hamayim l'tzorech rechitzas gufo mitoch miskein chashmali v'chadome. Where do we get our hot water from today? We get it from a hot water heater. V'harei bo mischamim hamayim gam b'shvil rechitzas panav yadav viraglav. When I heat the water up, when I turn the tap on for my hands and my feet, then the water is memela being heated up, the rest of the water in the pot. Vigam bishvil rechitzas kol gufo. So I can go with and take that water and wash the rest of my body. Vim kain lo shayach kano iser shel chimum hamayim. He says, this is not, there should be no iser here. Skip down another line. Chazon Yecheskel. So b'mashe who wrote to letaritz. Ela shedvarv tzarech iyan. So apparently this Sefer Chazon Yecheskel wants to say that Shavah L'chol Nefesh means it has to be something which is constant. And we would say washing is not a constant need. So he says that's not true. Because a person doesn't need to eat fancy food all the time, and yet eating is still called Shavah L'chol Nefesh. V'gam ein adam mizia kol yom v'sharina. And people don't sweat all day, yet you're still allowed to jump in the cold water on Yom Tov. And then he quotes the Rambam. He says, according to the Rambam, v'adei de'yesh lahatir es rechitzas kol haguf. Certainly one would be able to wash their entire body. I did not look up the Rambam, but apparently the Rambam shita is that you would be allowed to wash yourself. Now, later in the book, he says that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach disagrees, but he reiterates that it's called Shavah L'chol Nefesh. If you look at the back, in source 10a, he says, V'shamati mehagon Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, dimikevan dinaktinon dibeinon davka she'atzorach yehei Shavah L'chol Nefesh, mistaver de'asr lehotzi mayim l'rechitzas kol haguf. You should not be able to take out water, to heat up water, mipnei she'ein zeh shavah l'chol nefesh. But then he says, umihu le'inyan rechitzas kol haguf, nira, shemikevan shebizmanenu harezeh shavah l'chol nefesh, shapir mutter behotzahas. He concludes that nevertheless, he sticks to his guns, he says, he feels that it should be mutter today to wash your body. However, so now we see two contrasting opinions. We have one opinion, the most machmir, is that it's panav yadav viraglav, and that's it. We have the shita of Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, that a person may go and wash their entire body in hot water. There is a middle shita which says that you may wash less than the majority of your body, although some poskim assert this as well, as obviously the Shulchan Aruch would assert this. And the beer halacha ends off lekula, that one may wash less than half their body. So if you look at number 11, bottom of the page on the back, he says, Omnam, achar kach matzasi b'chidushi harashba b'shabes, d'daitum nami, d'panov yodav v'raglav, lav dafka. Dehu adin sha'ari varm, it includes the rest of his body. Kol shehurak miksas gufo, shari ukeharash. As long as it's less than half your body, it's permissible. V'ayim b'shari tshuva b'mashe kasa b'shem machzik bracha l'hakel, v'chei mash madas anoda b'yehuda, that a person could be makel on this. Now, in Rav Simcha Cohen's book on the halachos of Yom Tov, he quotes a source that says that if you want to follow this opinion of washing less than 50% of your body, make sure to wear clothing as a reminder not to step into the tub or the shower all the way. Now, may one use soap? So liquidy soap, according to most poskim, is mutter. The only posek I know of who takes a machmir approach to this is Rav Moshe, who for himself, and he says it's roy for others to be machmir as well. However, again, according to other poskim, liquid soap is vaday allowed. Let's see number 12. Rav Moshe says, "Udavar lehisrachets im buris b'shabes v'yom tov, hine pashat she'aser mishum memachik." So to use bar soap is vaday aser, based because it's smoothing. You're not allowed to do that. Va'af b'boris shehulach kimayim. And what about liquidy soap? As we said before, everyone's basically matir. In barley kol kach haheter, he says, I don't really understand why. I think that means suds, because as you rub your hands, it's not just by washing. When you rub the soap, you activate it. You get more and more and more soap as you're rubbing your hands together. Unlike water, which will just disappear off your hands, by the soap, he says it kind of looks like memachik. Even though the whole memachik might not apply at all. So Rav Moshe seems to be saying that he's saying a chumrah. Okay, now I have no idea if one may gently take liquid soap, let's say liquid shampoo, let's say you would take it, put it in a washing cup and liquefy it a lot more, you want to kind of rub it around on your head, on your hair. I don't know if you'd be allowed to gently do that or not. I'm not sure. May one use a towel, or is this a problem of schita? So according to Shmir Shabbos, one may use a towel. According to others, you may not. Let's see number 13. He says this sideways on the back page. Mutter lidnagi vesaguf vegames haseoros. One may use a towel on his body and on his hair. Avol aser lischot es hasaros. You may not squeeze out your hair. Shlo b'derech nigof. This would apply more to women. They have long hair. It's easy to squeeze. By a man, I guess, if you have a beard, also maybe. Ulidas hagoner shlom zaman orbach. Yesh lomar od. Debikiai gavna. Shehamayim hanischatim holchim le'ibud. What happens to this water? It's automatically absorbed in the towel. It gets lost immediately. Vim kain, skip down two lines. Kol shekein hacha de ein schita b'sa'ar d'araisa. Squeezing, there is no schita actually min haTorah on hair. V'gam isr d'rabanan lo nizkar mefurish b'shas. It's not even clear that it's an isr d'rabanan. Mistaver d'shaper shari. He says it should be mutter. Im hamayim haneschatim nivloim miyad b'toch hamigbas. As long as it's not recognizable and it's getting absorbed into the towel immediately, it's being lost, it's mutter. Even if there's not so much water, that you would actually be able to squeeze it out of the towel. I mean, that you'd have to have really wet hair, and even the towel would probably have to be wet originally, that you should be able to squeeze water out of the towel. I mean, that would be... a lot of water. Other factors a posik might consider may include such categories as Yom Tov Sheni, which in general is a bit more makel than Yom Tov Rishon, the category of Istinus, and the category of Kitoim Berosho, which is a person who is prone to a rash without regular washing. And just to conclude, so this issue, if it really bothers someone, it should be examined to determine what's mutter and to what extent, because one is supposed to enjoy Yom Tov, and if misconceptions get in the way of what is or is not allowed, and thereby actually ruins one's Simchas Yom Tov, and you end up dreading Yom Tov, then it's a true shame if the halacha allows latitude, and again, a person should ask a posek, this is not meant to be l'maisa, but may HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring the geula when we will once again, one day, have just Yom Tov Rishon, and we will no longer have to worry about having Yom Tov Sheni to remind us of the true status of Yom Tov Rishon. Thanks for listening.